Welcome back to Upstate Empire Fitness Radio. This is Brian Devins. I'm here with Coach Mike Lackey. Finally on the new podcast system here. He approves of the new. Last one we did was a little bit...
This one's official.
It was very official. It sounds a lot better.
This is Joe Rogan?
Mike's got a good radio voice, too.
Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah, we're here a little bit to talk about Mike, his coaching style, a little bit about the experiences he's had, not just as a coach, but... as an athlete, not just an athlete, but I mean like an athlete on a big stage in the nation. What federations and stuff are you affiliated with, or does it really matter? Are you open powerlifting, and explain a little bit about that?
I've competed in a bunch of federations. I don't even think some of them, like, I don't think the IPA even exists anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. XPC, RPS, WRPF was a big one I did. That's the big Russian one over there.
Yeah.
Never done any USAPL for obvious reasons. I've never done any USPA because I don't walk on my squats. I'm a cheater.
You got the monolift. So
yeah, cheater.
That's what they say. I don't know. I kind of like the monolift. I never squatted until we actually had one. I think I used one once, but I was always walked my squats out.
I get a lot of guys heated up, but last I checked, the squat was just down and up, not walking it out and putting it back.
Touche. Now, let's talk a little bit about, like, powerlifting in general. Like, when did you – I know a lot of people usually get into, like, lifting weights in high school, things like that. They've driven towards that, or, they played sports and, lost a competitive edge or whatever. Like, when did you start, like, really getting into lifting weights?
I started lifting in high school.
Yeah.
But I was just growing out.
Yeah, nothing like powerlifting. Were you competing then?
Nope. I think I kind of just went through the motions up until maybe my senior year. I started benching pretty heavy. I think as a senior, I benched 320 at like 200 pounds body weight. Which, I mean, nowadays...
You're 17, 18 years old?
Yeah, 17 or 18, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember...
nowadays is not impressive at all. You got some of these kids that are... I mean, there's that 18-year-old kid that comes here. He's strong. He's benches like 360.
Yeah, he's got a good bench. Yeah. He's got a good bench. But, he's been coming here for, since he's young, too. His father signed him up. Yeah, it's funny is that, looking back on, when I was in high school, it was like the biggest, like, notch in your belt was to put two plates on. Like, I know it was always naturally strong.
You've seen guys in high school benching 225. They were the man.
That's it. I remember when I was in seventh grade, you put one big wheel. I was always putting like 15s, like the 45s that on there for 115. Like, oh, yeah, I'm close. Because they looked like 40, looked like 45.
I must have failed 225 100 times before I actually hit it.
Yeah. It was horrible.
The time I would bench one plate. And I would just put two on.
But even benching over 300 pounds at that age, man, that's like, I feel like that was rare. Even like we saw a couple kids back in like the weight room, they would do some pretty big weight. And you went to a big school too. So
yeah, when I did it, there was a couple guys in, I think, a Proctor that probably could have did it, but not many.
Right.
I don't really remember any of my friends benching over 300 pounds.
Yeah, no.
My own horn, but.
So you bench press and stuff when you're a kid. Obviously most guys are resonating to the bench press because how much you bench. Mm. Everybody talks about that, you know what I mean? But, like, when was your first, how old were you first did a competition? Or, like, even thought about, like, man, I think this is something I want to get into. Like, did you see something on YouTube or something like that, or?
So I was training for what I thought I was going to do, a bodybuilding show.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. I wanted to do that.
Sure.
And Hell Barbell had just opened up.
Yeah.
A gym down in Whitesboro.
Sure.
And I went there to check it out, and I was in there working out one day, and the owner, Joe, came up to me, and he was like, hey, you're pretty strong. You ever thought about doing powerlifting? And I'm like, I don't know what that is. And he's like, well, you don't have to get on stage in a thong. And he's like, and you can eat whatever you want. And I was like, sign me up.
Sign me up.
How do I sign up?
There's really no bad pitch to that one.
That was it. I mean... And then I think around that time I was benching, it was 8 years ago, so I was 20, and I think I was benching around 400.
Okay.
Just like winging it, though. I would just lay down and bench 400 pounds.
there's grown men right now who are still trying to bench 300.
I was probably right around 215 pounds maybe. I think my first meet, I weighed in at 217.
You competed in the 220 class then?
Yep. That was my first meet, 220, weighed in at 217. I think I almost squatted and benched around the same weight. That's not an exaggeration.
Are you serious? Yep. for a lot of guys they don't know now, I think like Mike took like a few week hiatus and comes and squats with us the other night, and he just rolls up and just squats 685 like it's nothing.
A little longer, a little longer than a few weeks. But
to know that he was squatting and benching the same thing is actually kind of funny.
I don't quote me on that, but I want to say it was somewhere. I think I maybe benched like low to mid fours, and I squatted maybe five. So I mean that's relatively close. And those
even so, even a bad, you know, that's not a bad squat at 20 years old either. 500 pound squat, yeah. Obviously, and that's just, you know, only a very short time of like training. I mean, not just training, but like. Like real training.
Yeah,
like
so that was December is when I joined Hell Barbell, and I think my first meet was that following August. And even up until that point, I was still convinced that I was going to play football in college.
Sure.
So I was powerlifting, but I was doing a lot of cardio and, you know, a lot of agility. So it wasn't like I was just mainly focused on powerlifting.
Yeah, you were just trying to get stronger, and obviously, you know, having still a competitive edge at that age made it pretty easy to get, trying to get stronger in the gym, especially in, you know, any gym atmosphere that you know, celebrates strength, powerlifting, especially. I know like when I train with, you know, our guys, it pushes you, you know, you get competitive. You want to see the best for everybody, but like it's competitive. And
it has to be.
It would just be stale if it didn't.
Yeah. It's not the same.
It's really not. So I know I've enjoyed it because like I was training, like doing like bodybuilding type programming before, and I'd be competitive myself. You know what I mean? And that was cool and everything, but like then you get a training partner who trains equally as intense. It's like, we'll shake hands when we leave here, but I'm going to make sure I do at least one more rep than you.
Or yeah, one guy's chasing the next, and the top guy is trying to stay the top guy.
That's it.
Got guys chasing him down. It's a never-ending fight, but it just makes everybody better.
100%. I've witnessed it. I mean, I watched, like, just Zach and I together. Watching Ant bench, and it's just one person's trying to chase one, you know? It's like,
all it takes is one person to hit a nasty squat, and everybody else follows suit.
That's it. Agreed.
Yeah, one guy to lead the pack, and,
the best,
you know, whoever's having the best squat day, he could set the tone for everybody else.
Yeah. Was that, like, like I said, that's just pure energy, man. Like, I love that. I feed off energy. I think everybody does. It's resonant. Like, do you feel like, okay, so you didn't play college football?
No.
Okay. Did you feel like that was like the, you know, filling the void of not having that?
Absolutely.
I agree 100%, man. I feel like Absolutely. We kind of went the same, very similar. Like, I thought my first year I was going to go to like a, you know, like a prep school and then go and try and play football again, you know, later on.
I made a couple bad choices. I graduated from Proctor, and I went to play baseball at MV. Decided that I'd rather play football instead of baseball, which I probably should have stuck with baseball because I was a really good pitcher.
Right.
Yeah, and then because I wasn't playing a sport, I just thought I was going to transfer somewhere. That time in between, I didn't go to class.
Right.
You know, I fucked around.
Yeah, you're young.
And then next thing I know, there was no going back to school, so... No going to like a 4-year to play football, you know.
Right.
I stayed at MV and did my thing there, and
yeah, no doubt. So then next thing you know, real world problems.
Yeah, I got to work.
No doubt.
Lifting.
I mean, God, listen, I moved in together when we were young. You know, I mean, next thing you know, like, man, what am I gonna do?
Gotta do something. Yeah,
yeah. No, I definitely
lifting definitely filled that void.
Yeah,
that void of competitiveness. So.
Even now, do you feel like you're still just as competitive?
Yeah. I guess I'm guilty of falling out of it a little bit.
Sure, we all do.
You know, I got complacent, but I think I'm starting to get that competitive edge again. I'm
ready. Yeah, what is it? So. What's your goal next? I got to put you on a, I'm putting you on blast right now.
Blast. Yeah, yeah. realistically, anything over 2,300 total.
Gotcha. Last total, your best total is 2,250, right?
2,250 is my best.
Yep. By way of?
900-pound squat. 550 bench press, and a 800-pound deadlift.
Crazy. And we already know you're beyond 800 pounds on the deadlift now, officially, after the Arnold.
I'd say so.
And it's going to be pretty, I'm not going to say anything, maybe you'll see something pretty big here pretty soon, next couple of weeks, maybe December 5th.
We'll see what happens.
Some Some little gym down the road.
Little push-pull meet.
Little push-pull somewhere.
Prove a point quick. But.
I'm really excited for it, man. Just the camaraderie alone in powerlifting is good. And, like, we're talking about that competitive thing. And, you know, say what you will with all the drama and shit that we went through over the last few months. But this is going to be cool. I'm really excited for it. And I know the guys are for sure.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. I'm just excited to, like I said, I think I got my competitive edge back.
No doubt.
I'm hungry again. I went through a time where I was training, but I don't think... I think I really had the desire to be better than what I was.
Right. You're complacent.
Yeah, you get to a certain point, and powerlifting's tougher than a lot of people think it is. You know, if you put everything you have and you hit this big total, like I did, for example, 900-pound squat and 2250 total, you're on top. You take some downtime. You maybe get a couple injuries, and then all of a sudden – that 900-pound squat feels so out of reach.
Right.
Like, you're working just to get back to that, let alone past it.
That was my next question, is, like, did you think you fell in complacence because, like, nobody can catch me? Or is it, I don't know if I can...
Both.
Get back to that
I think
place.
It was both.
Yeah.
I think it was partly thinking, I don't know if I can get back to that place. But then trying to trump that with, well, does it matter? Because no one's going to touch it. And I don't want to sound like cocky or anything, but,
no, but I mean,
that's
it's
just
a big
the mentality total. I had.
Right.
You know, I mean, for all I know, there could be an 18-year-old kid walking around the streets of Utica right now, and all you got to do is put a bar in his hand, and he's going to squat 1,000 pounds.
Most likely there's going to be
the
somebody.
The talent is out there.
No doubt about
so
it.
I think it was a little bit of both. I think I just got lazy, and I let my ego kind of take the show.
Shit happens, man. Yeah. No doubt about it. Now let's go into, like, the coaching aspect of it, because now we're talking about being competitive, all right? And you're competitive because you're controlling all variables. You know, at the end of the day, if you don't lift your weights that you wanted to hit, guess what? Shit's on you. Not going to blame it on a coach. Not going to blame it on this. Not going to blame it on that.
You're not?
You shouldn't. Now we could have a whole other podcast. Yeah, that's a whole other podcast. So. You would certainly be surprised. Now, I wouldn't say that... You know, not every person that dubs themselves a coach is certainly not, you know, the greatest thing in the world.
I wouldn't say I'm the greatest coach in the world. I'm still learning.
Well, I'm saying if you wouldn't, you know, you've been in this seat, you've done it before, mm-hmm. You wouldn't intentionally screw anybody or, you know, no one would, hopefully not intentionally. More than likely, you're going to get somebody to a successful meet day.
You would hope so.
Right. There's people, you know, whether it be bodybuilding or whatever, that are, and the worst part about it is they don't even know they're wrong.
Well, I would like to think that, you know, every single person I coach, if they followed everything to a T, I would like to think that they are going to be better.
Right.
Is that necessarily the case? No, because not everybody's meant to be better. But right. It's a fine line at that point of whether it's my fault or their fault or both.
No doubt about it. I mean, listen, I think anyone in their coaching career makes mistakes. Now, vital, critical mistakes when you... You know, it's pretty hard to screw someone's complete prep up, or for whether it be for any coaching, any program, unless you just blatantly just didn't give a shit about what they were doing, you know?
Yeah, you see, I mean, prepping a guy, peaking for a meet is probably easier than coaching him in the off season. It's just a progressive build.
Right.
Make sure they're on track.
I mean,
progressing every week until you just peak them around the right time so that they're ready that day.
Yeah. You feel like they got that carrot's kind of dangling.
Yeah.
They got the prep. They have a date. They know they're going to be there. They know they need to hit their numbers.
Yeah.
Off season, it's like, I'm not trying to squat today. I'm going to just go do some.
So that's when the real work needs to be put in, which I'm.
Dude, no doubt about
it. I'm guilty for myself. Thinking like, oh, man, I don't even have a meat picked. Why do I got to do these squats today?
Right.
I don't need to do them. I don't even have a meat picked.
Right. No, no doubt about it. That's where your strengths build. That's where the real shit happens. Things aren't going to happen.
100%.
Listen, you're going to get more motivated as you go into your meet, mm-hmm. in your prep. But you want to have big deal changes. I've been saying this since day one. This is to a T what, not everybody, but a lot of people do in physique programming. As this shit doesn't get real until they have a date in mind and they're 20 weeks out. It's like, if you were slacking off for the last year, You might show up and do better than the last one, sure. But you could have done light years better if you actually programmed and just, what if you periodized an entire program for a year and a half, 2 years, and then you competed again?
Well,
how much more you would have did?
Right. Imagine if you don't do anything for 40, 50 weeks,
yep.
and you're trying to pack it all into 12.
That's
I don't not very good at math, but I don't think that works out.
No,
well,
absolutely so. Not. Not absolutely not. The best training program in the world. You know, you're still gonna, you know, not be your true potential. Mm-hmm. And that really comes down to what, you know, do you want your true potential? You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that want to just go out there and, you know, lift their best that day, and they're happy with it. You know, and I've, you know, you see a lot of people.
A lot of people are happy in powerlifting, just going to a meet and continuously hitting the same numbers over and over again. Like, people are complacent with that.
I don't know if I could do that. I'd be honest. Like, it took me a while. I've always squatted, bench, deadlift. I love that. I never had an anticipation or, you know, anticipated doing a powerlifting meet until I started, like, lifting with you guys. It's like, all right, maybe I will. And knowing what numbers would be respectable, because, like, I'm not saying I want to go. I can go there and do a gym PR. But I'll be honest with you, like, I want to be able to go and contend. You know what I mean? Well, and the meets I'm going to are a little bit smaller, again. But there's my next meet I do is a full power meet. I want to be a little bigger.
Yeah, but it's not even about it is about contending, but it's not. Get to a point, too, where it's you want to be better than the last time.
Of course. You always want to progress.
You know, I totaled that 2250, and the last 2 years since I did that, I've done two full power meets. One of them was on 3-day notice. So if it's about, I mean, and if it was about just winning the meet, a local meet, like.
Still total over $2,000 on that.
2100 on 3-day notice. I just showed up.
That's so
you know what
sick.
I mean? So if it was about just winning, I could just show up and win. You know,
but you could, now that you're on a bigger stage, look, what rank are you like currently right now? In,
seventh all seventh. Time at 275.
That's sick. That's in the world. U.S. In the world.
And that's in the world.
That's in the world.
Yep.
It's open
powerlifting. You could fact check it. It's there.
That's crazy, dude. Absolutely incredible. So now it's not even like you're competing with local people. Dude, you're in the world. Like, people are trying to knock you off. Like, just number eight's like, and I'm going to beat this dude out and get a little closer. Mm-hmm. So when you go to a meet, it doesn't really matter who the hell is there.
Nope.
Unless you got one of those guys that are from, you know, 6-1.
That's why it doesn't matter to me about doing. I don't need to do a lot of meets.
Right.
It's not about, for me,
it's quality.
About, yeah, yeah. If the next meet I do, it needs to be 100%. I'm ready to go to put up the best absolute total I can put up and possibly move my name up that list.
Yeah.
So
it's going to happen. Yeah. We already know.
Thought maybe the Arnold was it, but I think I.
Eh, a lot of variables in that,
bad
man.
Bad training cycle, lower weight. I don't think I put on the weight I should have. Just a bad day. Took some good things out of there, though.
Yeah, it was a good day overall. What a weird situation the whole Arnold was anyways.
Yeah, driving. I mean, we were driving to the meet, not even knowing if there was going to be one.
I couldn't believe it. We had physique athletes there. It was like,
for those who don't know, that was the beginning of COVID-19.
It's like one of the first states.
We didn't even know what it was yet.
Yeah, we're like, what the hell? Like, really?
Canceled the expo. Canceled. 3 days before, 2 days before. And we're driving to a powerlifting meet 8 hours away that we don't even know if it's going to happen or not. So
that's it. It was a good time in Columbus, I'll be honest with you.
It was great.
The steakhouse was great.
Yeah.
Still got the lift.
All you can eat. Yeah, it's better than that.
I ate so much food there. Now, taking your career now, and you kind of transitioned a little bit, because so you've helped people in the past. Mm-hmm. But do you ever consider yourself like, okay, like coaching is going to be part of my career now? Obviously, starting as a career as a coach doesn't just, you don't wake up one morning and have 100 clients. Like, now you're like, okay, I want to take my what I've done, what I know, what I feel comfortable with, and now I want to share this with other individuals. I want to get them to have this type of success that I had. Whatever level that might be.
I've always thought I wanted to coach.
Sure.
You know, it's just a matter of being ready or not.
Right.
You know, I still, it's not like, I'm not going to sit there and tell you I know everything. Cause I don't.
Yeah.
But.
If you knew everything, it'd be boring.
To me, I've just been a lot around a lot of people in the sport. I've been a lot of places. I'm still continuing to learn too.
No doubt about it.
Different ways. But if I could take what I already know, you know, and pass it on to the next person and make them better, then to me that's good enough.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I expect, especially with every situation you have, because like I was saying before, is you have these clients you run into that you assume they're going to follow the plan just the way that you would. Mm-hmm. But with every client that you encounter, there's a different situation, a different way to approach them and work with them.
You got
to
adapt.
You have to adapt, and that's the number one thing for a coach, is being able to adapt to those people, because if you can't adapt, guess what?
How many times do you see it? You know, you get a coach. I'm not saying that every coach doesn't have their philosophy and the way they want to coach.
Sure.
You know, everyone does something differently. But too many guys are so set in stone with their way. And, you know, you could say, oh, it works for everyone, but it doesn't. I mean, everyone's different. You got to be willing to adjust that.
Well,
you got to be adaptive.
Adaptive to the
client.
Yeah. I mean, to an extent, you know, when you go, so we're talking about powerlifting prep. To an extent, there needs to be some type of happiness that has to do with this program. Like, I have to enjoy what I'm doing, or, you know, mentally, I'm just going to be gassed. I'm not going to be there. Like, yeah, I go lift those weights and stuff, but, like, am I there mentally?
If I got a guy peaking for a meet and they don't like reps, like high volume stuff, I'm not going to cram high volume down their throat.
Right.
They're not going to want to do it. They're going to be miserable. They're not, you know, they're just not going to want to do it. I'd rather adjust. As long as they're progressing in the way I think they should be,
right?
Doing, even if they're doing singles, doubles, or triples, as long as it's working, and they're happy,
and they're happy,
they're coming in the gym every week, yeah.
And that goes into the whole conversation we just had a few minutes ago. It was about the hard work goes in the off season. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Get them to that day that meet. I mean, it's standard contest proper powerlifting meet prep. How many weeks? What do you say? Ideally,
12.
12 weeks.
I would say 12. An actual peak, probably 6 to 8.
Yeah. So, a lot. I mean, like I said, your strength is pretty much going to be there. It's getting them, you know, neurologically adapted to hold a little bit more weight, mm-hmm. doing three massive lifts all in the same day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What's the idea there? I mean, do you start, these singles? Do you do more sets? You just doing basically reading the person? You deload through
reading the person, and you know, and everyone's different. I'm a big believer in like doubles, yeah. Right? Because when you go to a powerlifting meet, you only get one rep, right? So our first goal is to perfect that one rep,
for sure. Yeah,
you know, you just get one rep.
That's it.
Three times one rep.
I was going through this a couple weeks ago.
So if you could do everything in your power to perfect that one single rep, then I think you're in a good place.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what do you think about, now when you go in through your powerlifting meet, obviously, I'm starting to like notice like now we get bigger weights are starting to come. Recovery's decent, but I'm noticing myself, now I'm starting to get sore. Now, my last week, I was just did triples, and now I'm going to either singles or doubles. I have no idea what to expect, to be frank. And like going into this, I'm not sure when to dial down. Now, you obviously set numbers for your athletes every week, mm-hmm. okay? And just the numbers you're gonna hit, you know what you're gonna hit.
I normally base it off of percentage,
off the percentage of their previous or what they want to do.
I do a mixture of both.
Gotcha. Realistic. So if someone comes to you with a pretty unrealistic goal, or maybe they're undershooting themselves.
Yeah, most people have an over realistic goal, I would say.
Right.
Or a lot of times you get guys that they'll be like, oh, well, this is my max. No, that was your max. If I put that on the bar right now, you probably can't do it.
Right.
You know, so you can't just start people with those numbers. You got to progressively build them to that. And if they pass that point, then that's what you want.
Yep.
But too many times I see people, you know, they'll just say this is, they're overachieving.
Yeah, they
just
want
because they just because they benched 400 before.
I'm going five.
Right,
going
right, five, right. Yeah,
I want
yeah.
five now.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a 100 pound jump. It's going to be a monster.
It takes years.
Definitely takes years. I'm still trying to bench four.
I've been benching 550 for years.
Mike's been benching just 17. It's all right.
Like 20.
That's all right. I'm not even mad about it. I'll get there one day. That's the goal. We'll get close to 400 here in the next couple weeks. Now, do you find it frustrating at all, too, like if you have clients that are not found the protocols, or do you pretty much got to keep a close eye? You got, you know, you haven't, you deal with that issue, or yeah, what's the consensus here?
Doesn't everybody deal with it?
Absolutely.
You always got Absolutely. That.
Now, you got some, I'm talking about people in meets, like they have the numbers they're going to do. Are they going to start throwing more weight on? Because I personally, so I wrote this last program for this contest, mm-hmm. for the meet prep. You were squatting me the other day. I'm squatting, whatever it was, 520 maybe or something like that. And I go, this is light. I'm going to go heavier. I'm going to go heavier, go heavier, go heavier. Like, I got to stick to this plan.
But here's the thing. You were doing triples.
I was doing triples, though. And it was pretty light.
You know, if you were doing singles, you hit a huge heavy single and you're like, I'm going to go up. And I'm like, nah, probably not. You should save that for next week. But triples, I mean, you're still working some volume. You're not even in your, I wouldn't even say you're in
we're
your
pretty far
90
out.
Percentile yet.
Not even. You're not,
you know what I mean? So
I think I was, I think I was at like, probably, I mean, I would have rated it as like a 6 on the RPE scale, and right. Which is, well, I got a lot more than 10. I mean, not
right,
even,
if you hit a triple and it was an RPE of 8 or 9. I'd
right. Be, I don't even think I hit those. I haven't hit that yet. My bench, I'm getting close. My bench is not the best lift, but.
But that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
It is.
It is for
but
benches.
At the same time, at what point do you need to say, okay, I'm getting ready for a meet. I need to get away from an RPE of 6. It's too easy.
Right.
I'm gonna right, undershoot yeah. myself at the meet. You know what?
Yeah.
Like, if all your weights are so easy, you're going to leave a lot on the table because you're not going to know where you really should be at.
Yeah, like right now, I know these next like few weeks are gonna be telltale. If I'm gonna up these numbers,
you'll have a better idea of where you're gonna.
Yeah, because now we're starting to get to where my previous one reps were, mm-hmm. which I think I could do my previous one reps already. You know what I mean? So I've never again. This is gonna be an experience like none other.
Well, I mean, back to your previous question. As far as the guys I have currently, the numbers I give them weekly, they hit them, and they're. For the most part, pretty content. Some may feel like they're a little under what they should be, but they trust me enough to know we're going to get to that point eventually. Yeah, sure. We're going to get to that point.
No doubt.
Just trust the process.
Right, I was just about to say. Yeah. The whole trust, have your, you know, trust in your coach and say, listen, like, that's where you can kind of get the whole thing. Like, oh, if I don't hit those numbers, what happened? Was it my coach? It's a big responsibility, man, because you got a lot invested, obviously emotionally, more so with like, the, you know, and obviously some financial investment into this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So there is some definite stress that comes along with that. Like you want to hit a number and you're going to trust your coach to get you there. And you have to. You have to trust your coach.
And of course, you know, as a coach, you want to see these guys do good. You want them to do good.
Right.
It only makes you look better.
Yeah. I mean, that's the importance of your programming. And I think... like we were talking about the, you know, the off season, but I mean in the prep, I mean, if you were rated like on a scale, you know, 0 to 100, how important is your programming? Realistically,
during prep,
yeah,
100%,
yeah, right. To know exactly where you are, micro. I see a lot of people that go and just kind of, not so much for like meat prep, but even if they want to get on a strength plan or they want to get bigger and stronger. Mm-hmm. Is obviously they're just kind of training intuitively still at that point. So if you, even at that point, like everything you do to get yourself better is pretty important.
I've seen guys wing it all the way to a meet before.
Yeah. 3 days notice. You're not winging it there, but I mean,
they either hit 3 attempts that are insanely easy, not like PR attempts, like they're way under what they should be.
Yeah, because how do you know where you are?
Or they barely hit their openers or they bomb out.
Dude, that would be so. That right there gets me anxious to think about, like how, like we were talking about the importance of programming. There's some people that say, "I know what I can do, and I know what to do on the show of the meet and or the day of the meet, and I'll have a crowd there. I'll get amped up, and I'll put anything in the bar and do it." Like winging it.
So you get 3 attempts, right?
Sure.
So your first one should be something you know you can hit. I usually say something you could double in the gym. Pretty easily.
Right.
That, I mean, your first attempt sets the tone for the whole
just
meet.
Just get it out of the way.
Because if you don't hit a squat attempt, you don't move on to bench. You make it to bench and don't hit a bench attempt, you don't go to deadlifts. And if you get the deadlifts and don't hit any of those, you don't get a total. So, you know, your 3 openers are your most important because that develops your, at least you'll have a total.
I have a total. Mm-hmm. Might not want to talk about your total. But at least you'll have it.
It's a total, though, right?
Total is total. I don't have a total right now.
Right. Yeah, more than some people could say.
I will have a total unless this whole thing goes down where all my meets get fucking canceled again.
COVID is still out there.
Dude, look what they're doing in New York City right now, trying to close them down again. Wednesday you're supposed to have them. Good Lord. How's everybody going on your crew so far? Your clients, everybody getting excited about the meet?
Yeah, they're good.
It's good, man.
I think for the most part, everyone's pretty happy.
No one's blasting on Facebook how they or Instagram how shitty of a coach Mike is far. So we're still doing pretty good. Yeah, I think you'll be all right.
I'll be prepared if they do. You got Twitter fingers.
I would be ready too. Very seldom does that happen, but going to Instagram, especially for
double edged sword, right? They could say it was me. I could just say it was them.
That's it.
Who are they gonna believe?
They're not gonna believe. They'll believe the coach. Mike's had a bigger following. Got a bigger total. Sounds like I got 20. Just put 20 hashtag 2250
on the wall.
It is on the wall. I already put that on there.
Beat that, I need a magic eraser.
I remember when you totaled that. I was pretty impressed, man. It was nuts.
Yeah. I think I should have squatted heavier.
Looking
back at it.
Watching the video, it's pretty. It moved pretty good.
That was a pretty good year for me. I had gone to Boss of Bosses before that.
Yep.
Out in California. Won that. Won my weight class, not the overall, but.
Right.
Did 21.66 there. Some on the table, and then I made up for it at the Hercules meet. So,
dude, that was awesome. Just especially the energy too. The energy alone in that building was insane. I watched a video after the fact, but hopefully, that's all me. What was my first experience of meets like that?
I think it'll be a good one.
Does everybody have a mask on or something?
You got a lift with a mask on?
I don't know. Whatever. I don't give a shit at this point. I've been lifting with a mask on. That's kind of cool. I can make the weirdest face in the world when I squat. No one will care.
No ugly deadlift faces. Zach will be all set.
Everybody be happy about it. All right, guys. If you guys want to get a hold of Mike, you can follow him on Instagram. What's your handle there, Mike?
MLAC15.
And got an email. It's mike@upstandonparfit.com. If you want to get a hold of his coaching, services, shoot him an email. You can also email team@upstandonparfit.com.
Private message me.
PM him, whatever you want to do. We could definitely get you guys set up. Stay tuned. We got some stuff coming up here in the next couple of weeks as far as like guys that are doing powerlifting in the gym, a couple of ladies out here doing powerlifting in the gym too.
I mean,
possibly a surprise pull attempt from Mrs. Devins. We're seeing how she does. Yeah, she's back pulling. She feels really good.
400-pound deadlift?
She's going to be close. I
think it's in there.
I think it's definitely in there. Yeah. She's healing at the back. She wants to pull. She's still got this vendetta with 365 that she has to overcome. It was like the same thing when she was trying to pull 315 for a long time. She finally pulled.
It's
going to
be a big year for powerlifting here.
I think it will be. Upstate. She's excited. We wrote a program the other day, threw in some deadlifts. So
I hopefully got some surprises for some people.
That's it. It's going to be some big surprises.
We'll see what happens.
I got about 850 ideas of where it could be. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, feel free to leave a comment on this podcast.